Looking to acquire peace? Well, you came to the right place, because that's today's topic on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 30 minutes. Got all kinds of good stuff to talk about on the show. Today's Tuesday, so therefore that means we're going to open up the classic spiritual masterpiece, The Imitation of Christ, and look at some wisdom from Thomas A. Kempis. His message today, how to acquire peace and on the desire to improve. Who don't want to know about how to acquire peace, and who doesn't need some improvement? We're going to discuss that in some very simple terms on the program today. And before we get to that, we'll look at the Mass readings from Tuesday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. Once again, we'll visit Moses from the book of Exodus and take a look at a gospel that discusses the seed that is sown. The seed that is sown. So many times we listen to the Word of God in the sacred Scripture, don't we? And the seed falls on deaf ears. We want to be careful about that. I think a big mistake that we make, and you know me, I like to try to keep you as honest as possible, because these are the things that I struggle with as well. I think one of the big mistakes that we make sometimes is that we listen to the message in the gospel, and we, instead of applying it to ourselves, we apply it to either the original people, or we look at other people and we begin to apply it to their lives. We've got to be careful of that, because really the only person that we have control over is ourselves. And you and I, we're called to take the Word of God as written in the Bible and apply it to our lives. So we're going to do that. We're going to challenge ourselves today. And don't worry, if you don't want to do it, I'm going to challenge you. So we're good there. But it's all kind of good stuff. We're going to hear the Lord speak to us today in the program. And I love being able to say that with confidence. When I pray, as I do every day, I always say, Lord, speak through me. When I read sacred scripture, there is no doubt he's speaking through me, because I'm using his words. These are the inspired words of God as written in the Bible. So I always feel good about the fact that we include some scripture in each and every program. So that's what we have on tap. A couple of pieces of news beginning on September the 4th, we will once again, for the fifth year in a row, be leading the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, the 33-day preparation for total consecration. We'll start that on September the 4th. That's a Friday. Before then, I'll do a couple of shows explaining what it is that we're doing with total consecration. If you are looking to grow closer to Jesus, I don't have any better suggestion for you than to make your total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It's an amazingly powerful devotion. I recommend it strongly. That's why I spend so much time doing it. Get the word out. Let people know that we're going to be doing it here on the program. I'll let you know how you can get the book very cheaply. Our friends at myconsecration.org, they used to send them away for free, but now they're sending out the books for, I think, a $2 charge. Very, very minimal, very worth it. This is the devotion that was popularized by St. Louis de Montfort. We're using Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. You're going to love it. It's very easy to understand. It is streamlined, it's simplified, and it is going to be practical. This is something you can definitely get into. So what we do is we prepare for 33 days prior to making our total consecration. Because St. Louis de Montfort believed that we shouldn't just jump into this. We need to think about some things. We need to meditate. We need to hear sacred scripture. All designed to get us to the place where we need to be so that we can, to the best of our ability, give our lives over to the Blessed Mother so that she will lead us to Jesus. But stay tuned. More information will be forthcoming on that. I'll be blogging about that. We'll do a couple of shows before then. Also, tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I hope you'll join me on EWTN Radio's The Sunrise Morning Show for my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. We're going to be looking at a Bible verse from the book of the prophet Micah. This is not a book that we typically turn to, but that's what I'm going to be using tomorrow. So that's at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. I do this weekly on EWTN Radio's Sunrise Morning Show. If you're someone who's prone to anxiety, I strongly recommend that you listen to this. This is a very simple message. That's what I focus on. on these segments. They're about 5 minutes long. They're not especially long, but the Bible is a great source of inspiration for those of us who are anxious, and that's what I try to do on these segments. So if you're somebody who gets a little nervous from time to time, please make it a point to listen to the show. Final piece of news. On Friday and Saturday, I will be speaking at Mercy College in Dobbs Ferry, New York. So if you're in that area, please stop on by. It's a homeschooling conference. There is no admission charge. Yes, it's about homeschool. My message will be geared toward homeschoolers, but it's an anti-anxiety message. So if you're someone who needs a little pick-me-up, you will benefit from it, even if you don't homeschool. Plus, I'll have my books there. I will be there. I'll have a table set up. So I would love to meet you, so please try to stop on by at Mercy College, Dobbs Ferry, New York. You can find out more information by going to the homepage on my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on upcoming appearances. You'll see a link to this conference. It's the IHM Catholic Homeschooling Conference this Friday and Saturday in Dobbs Ferry, New York. All right, ready to get started? Let's do us some praying, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day. Father, you have given us so many blessings just this day alone. We thank you for the ability to be able to hear. We thank you for the ability to see, if we can see. We thank you for the ability to walk, if we're able to walk. We thank you for the ability to be able to think, to be able to understand your message. We thank you for the ability to breathe. We are all alive, so we're thankful for that. You have plans for us because of the fact that we're still alive. You gave us another day on this earth. You don't want us to just sit around. You've got a plan for us. So whatever that is, please reveal that plan for us, Father. Help us to stay close to you. Help us not to pursue our own plans, but rather to pursue your will for our lives. Father, please help those who are sick. Please help those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with financial difficulty, those who are dealing with addiction, those who might be suffering religious persecution. Please help them all. People who are suffering from extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help them all, to allow them to feel your peace, to get them through whatever it is that they're going through, and to remember that anything that happens, happens because it's your will. That's something that we forget sometimes, Father. Help us to remember that always. Please be with our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask that you increase vocations. We ask also, Father, that you use us to do whatever it is that you have in mind, even if it involves suffering. We know that you like us, or you invite us, to share in your work, to spread the kingdom. Please give us the strength and the courage and the desire to be able to do that. Help us to trust you more. Help us to lean on you, to depend on you. Help us to not try to do things on our own. Help us to remember that we're not supposed to do things on our own. And Father, I turn this show over to you. I ask you to speak through me today. Please allow me to do your work on this program. And open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us today. And now we present to you our own personal needs, our problems, our intentions, things that are driving us crazy. Father, we hand them over to you because we know you love us, we know you care about us, and we know that you are bigger than any of our problems and that you are capable of handling any problem that we could ever face. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you now and ask for your help, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. So glad that you're a part of it. You know the deal. I've said it so many times. I wouldn't be here if it was not for you and for your support, for your prayers, for your financial contributions, and for the fact that you let people know about this show. Word about this show has spread through word of mouth, and I'm grateful for that. I want to get as many listeners as possible. We always pick up a ton of listeners when it comes to Total Consecration, because every time I do a national radio appearance, I make sure to mention it. So we're going to try to get the word out about Total Consecration. Please let your friends know. We want to get as many people around the table as possible. You know the deal. I've got plenty of room at my table. There's always room for you every night. Therefore, there's room for your friends, too. We got a big table here. Got lots of chairs. You know my rule, though. You have to bring your own beverage, your own snack. Today's beverage du jour, I'm going back to basics today. Just got a big old glass of water. Nice and cool. It's very warm, humid here in southern New Jersey, so I just went with the cold water. I don't care what you have for your snack, for your beverage, whatever you do, enjoy yourself. Let's sit back. We're among friends. We are friends. We are more than that. We're family. So when we do this every night, you want to be eating your dinner with me? That's wonderful. Again, I just love it. I love the fact that you're here. If you want to bring me to your parish, I would invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You'll see samples of my talks there. You will see some ways to contact me. You'll see some endorsements. Whatever you need, let me know. We'll talk about it. I'll work within the budget of your parish, but I really want to come out and spread the message. You can find out more information by emailing me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's do some readings now. We're looking at the readings for Tuesday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of Exodus. We're going to see, once again, Moses and some big adventures that he's getting into. Exodus 33, beginning in verse 7. The tent, which was called the meeting tent, Moses used to pitch at some distance away outside the camp. Anyone who wished to consult the Lord would go to this meeting tent outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, the people would all rise and stand at the entrance of their own tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the column of cloud would come down and stand at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. On seeing the column of cloud stand at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship at the entrance of their own tents. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one man speaks to another. Moses would then return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, would not move out of the tent. Moses stood there with the Lord and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, "The Lord, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity, continuing his kindness for 1,000 generations, and forgiving wickedness and crime and sin, yet not declaring the guilty guiltless, but punishing children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation for their father's wickedness." Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, "If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins, and receive us as your own." So Moses stayed there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, without eating any food or drinking any water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When I look at this little narrative, one of the things that strikes me is the fact that God wants to communicate to us. We have to go back in time and place ourselves at the time of Moses and the Israelites. Jesus had not been born yet. So God was somewhat distant, and the problem is that the people didn't really know the Lord. They didn't know him that well because of the fact that Jesus had not come. Moses would speak to the Lord, and then Moses would come back and give the message to the people, which is really good. God was revealing himself to the people gradually. That's what he was doing. He was revealing himself gradually to the people and letting them know through Moses what he wanted them to know. But it's a process. We know more now than the people knew back in the time of Moses. But the point that we need to remember is that God continually, and he does this today, reaches out to us. He wants us to know him better, and he wants us to become closer to him. We have the benefit of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The complete and full revelation of God comes about through Christ. Now, the message of Christ has to be unpacked. We're going to spend the rest of our lives unpacking the message of Christ, as is the church. Theologians have been looking at Christ's words for years and years, and we continue to do so. But I think it's a really comforting message to know that Jesus loves me so much that he wants to become intimately involved in my life. He wants to be able to enter into my very body with his body, and that's what the Eucharist is. He wants to speak to me through the pages of the Bible. That is a Lord that loves you. That's a Lord that loves me. That's the best friend I can ever have. How are you doing in terms of your relationship with Jesus? Are you trying to get to know him? It's not going to happen if you're not reading your Bible and praying every day. Pardon me. You should also try, if at all possible, to get to daily Mass at least one extra time during the week. This is something that I started doing a few years ago, and it's completely transformed my life to the point where if I have to miss, I really feel sad about it now. At one time, I went to Mass on Sunday out of a sense of responsibility or sense of duty. But as I grew closer to Christ, what happened was I started wanting to go more. So I just recommend you do it. Don't force yourself. Don't try to say, oh, I'm going to go every day if I'm not used to going every day. Or if you're not used to going every day, give it a shot. Give it maybe one extra day a week. Do two, possibly. You don't want to burn yourself out. You want to go slowly. You also want to get used to spending some time in the presence of the Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you've got an adoration chapel, that would be a great thing to do. He wants to be involved in your life. So many times we are stressed, we are isolated, we feel abandoned. And we feel like we don't have anybody who cares about us. Well, that's not true. The Lord cares about us, and he wants to get involved. So please, take advantage of that. The psalm is, the Lord is kind and merciful. See, he's so kind to us, merciful to us. We're not in hell. If you're listening to this, you're alive, you still have the opportunity to go to heaven. That's mercy. I was thinking about this at Mass today. There were times, had I died at several points in my life, I was in the state of mortal sin. The church teaches you die in the state of mortal sin. Objectively speaking, you go to hell. It's a very, very serious thing. It's nothing to joke about. I could have been in big, big trouble. The Lord didn't take me then. And I'm really grateful that I'm still here. I am trying to do my best to become a better person with his help. But that attitude of gratitude is really important. We need to appreciate that. The same goes for you. You're alive. I don't know what you've done in your past, but if you've been anything like me, that you've messed up. Most people have. But you're still alive. It means God hasn't given up on you yet. The Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And I would just say to you today, if it's been a long time since you've been to confession, please take advantage of this great outpouring of the Lord's mercy and go this week. This weekend, most churches have confessions during the week. or make an appointment with your priest, your parish priest. You don't want to put this off because you just don't know. You don't want to be in a position where you might come to the end of your life. We don't know. The Lord said we do not know the hour or the moment. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when it's going to happen. Make sure you're prepared. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evil doers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." And you know, that last line is really addressed to us, and it really should shake us up a little bit. You just heard this message. The message is that good and evil will exist until the end of the world. There are going to be people who do evil things in this life. Some of those people might even be involved in ministry in the church. Don't let it rattle you. Worry about yourself. Worry about following the Lord each day, doing what he wants you to do, being holy. And also remember that sometimes your duties are to let other people know if they are headed down the wrong road, if they are in big trouble spiritually, especially if it's somebody like your spouse or your children or a really good friend. You don't want to let them fall off the cliff. Out of charity, you want to help them and remind them, even though you might get met with resistance, that we are called to be holy and that there is a price to pay for not being holy. And that price is called hell, and we don't want to get there. Let's remember that. And let's also remember just how much the Lord loves us. A lot of people don't know about the Lord, though, and that's where you and I have a role to play. You're listening to this show. You are light years ahead of many people in the world, because a great number of people do not care about anything spiritual. They don't want to be bothered, but they might need to be bothered. That's where you and I come in. We have to, in charity, not in a nasty way, we have to guide them. The first thing we do is to lead a good life. You need to be an example for others. You can preach them all you want, but if you're not walking the walk, they're going to ignore you. You might do more harm than good because they'll think you're a hypocrite. So the first thing we have to do is try, with the Lord's help, to be nice to people, to be a good role model. And that opens the door for further evangelization. All right, let's talk about this topic from Thomas Kempis on how to acquire peace and on the desire to improve. This is from the book, The Imitation of Christ. The version that I use is by the Catholic Book Publishing Company. This is my favorite version of the book, and I think it's a really good, understandable, but tough version. It's not watered down. It's still powerful. It packs a good wallop, which is what we need. We need that sledgehammer over the head, as Father Larry Richards talks about it. How to acquire peace. Who among us doesn't want to acquire peace? Here's what Thomas Kempis has to say. "We would indeed have peace if we would attend to our affairs. How can you remain in peace when you deliberately interfere in other people's business and seek worldly occupation with seldom a thought to interior recollection? The humble and the single-hearted are truly blessed and will have abundant peace." Now, what I just said about helping other people to stay on the right path, we have to do that sometime. But we don't want our sole focus to be on other people. Primarily, you've got to make sure you have your own act in order. Your own house has to be clean so that you can guide others to the Lord. But you've got to make sure that you are spending time, when you hear scripture, looking at yourself, directing the message toward you. Jesus said, Let he who has ears listen. Well, am I listening? Am I listening to the word? And you know, be tough on yourself, because we can fool ourselves sometimes. You don't want to do that. The reason why the saints were so perfectly recollected is that they always sought to abstain from worldly desires, leaving themselves free to give their whole heart to God. But we are absorbed in our own passions and too concerned with passing things. We seldom overcome even one single fault. We are slow to make progress and therefore remain cold and indifferent. If you feel that you are too materialistic, if you like things too much, if you don't like spiritual gifts, if you're always searching for material gifts, material things, if you like money, if you like possessions, if you like new toys, whatever it is, ask the Lord to take away that desire and to increase your desire for spiritual things. It's so important, because we try to do this ourselves, and it's hard. I spent many years buying all kinds of things, and it made me happy. And I didn't know how I would ever be able to break away from that. And then I had a priest in confession told me one time to ask the Lord for help. That's what I would recommend you to do. Ask the Lord for help in overcoming this desire for material things and to draw you closer to spiritual things. If we would die to self-love, soon we would enjoy spiritual things, and then we would experience heavenly contemplation. As it is, we do not force ourselves to overcome our passions and disorderly desires and to follow the path of the saints. And this is our greatest obstacle to contemplation. As soon as any little difficulty comes our way, we are easily cast down and turn to human consolation. So when you pray, ask for spiritual gifts. If you're somebody who's impatient, ask for patience. If you are somebody who's lukewarm, ask for greater zeal in following the Lord. If you're someone who likes material things, ask for a greater desire to love spiritual things. If we would only exert ourselves and take a firm stand in this battle, we would see how God comes to our aid. For he is always ready to help those who put their trust in him. He even provides occasions for us to do battle so that we will overcome and be victorious. If our religion consists only in outward observances, our piety will soon come to an end. We had better lay our axe to the root, that being purged from our passions, we may possess our soul in peace. If we would overcome one fault a year, we would soon be perfect. Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? One fault a year. But often we find that we were better and purer when we first turned to God than after years supposedly spent in his service. Actually, our fervor and desire for virtue should increase every day as we grow older. But now it's considered wonderful if we still hold on to a spark of our first fervor. It is far easier to break evil habits at the outset, for then acts of virtue are done more easily and with a happy heart. It's not easy to break bad habits, and harder still to give up your own will. But if you do not overcome the little things, how do you expect to overcome the greater? Therefore, resist your evil inclinations at the start and break off bad habits. Little by little, they'll lead you into greater difficulties. If only you'd think of the great interior peace you would have and how happy you would be, how happy you would make others by doing good, you would be more eager to grow in virtue. Now, we only have a minute or so left, so what I would say is this. If you're someone who struggles to pray every day, you're going to have to fight through that. You might not always feel like it, but that's how you express your love for the Lord, and that's how you grow in virtue, by making it a point to spend time praying each day. Make sure when you wake up, you talk to the Lord, even if it's only for a couple minutes throughout the day, check in with him as you're going through your daily duties, whatever they may be. And at the end of the day, reflect on what you have done. If you messed up, you say you're sorry, you ask for the grace to do better tomorrow, and when you wake up the next day, you start it all over again. But you've got to make that effort. Read the Bible every day. We do it on the program, but spend a little extra time, 5 minutes a day, reading those readings again. It's a great place to start, reading the daily mass readings. Make sure you pray. Try, if you can, to get the daily mass as often as possible, to confession as often as possible. Spend time in Eucharistic adoration. You do these things, and you're going to grow in virtue and grow closer to the Lord. I am out of time. God willing, I'm going to see you back here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. tomorrow's topic, My Daily Bread. I hope you can join me. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.